another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com.
It's time to cool it out, baby.
All right, it's the Twin Cities Tank. I'm Pete. Over there is Brent.
Hey, babies.
How you doing, Brent?
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, that's good.
All right, all right.
Did you have a good week today?
I did. What?
Today?
I had a whole week in one day. It was great.
Yeah? All right. The contest is still going on. It's going on until August 1st. Go to TwinCitiesTank.com. We're giving away an iTunes gift card, $50, in iTunes gift
all it
dollars.
Takes is an email.
Yeah,
just an email. You can get $50 worth of comedy.
Yeah, just go there. It's the first post on the page. Just click the link. Don't forget to resubscribe.
Son of a bitch. Get mad about it. I think you should get mad about it.
Well. Gah!
All right, all right.
Okay. With us today, we have comedian, local comedian Isaac Witte.
What's going on?
How are you today?
Local, worldwide.
Oh, big shot.
Yeah.
Big time. Big time shot. Comedy in the room today.
Yeah. Things are going very well for me.
Obviously.
Jeez, I got this show.
I got this, and that's it. No, Isaac's got a bunch of shit coming up. In fact, tomorrow, which will be too late, the Music Box Theater.
If you can go back in time.
Yes.
And,
we'll plug it on the website. So what do you have going on tomorrow?
Tomorrow night I'm at the, what is it, the Music Box? That's what it's called. Music Box Theater at, 14th and Nicollet.
Theater implies that it's big.
It is a theater, yes. It's a theater that seats, I guess, like 250, something
a lot
like that.
Of people.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you put on a show, as you guys know.
Sure.
And then people just show up. People love to be entertained.
People like to laugh.
They do.
This is a trying time in this country.
Oh, gosh.
We got some people sort of so oil sad. Thing happening and a bank situation.
I've heard about that.
Something with Kobe and who knows?
Oh,
who
my
knows
goodness.
What's happening next? People need to laugh.
Those earthquakes? Oh, my gosh.
Or something.
Who's going to stop them other than us entertainers?
Jesus.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's
maybe.
True.
I don't know. Whatever.
Is there anybody else on that show?
Tim Harmston is going to be in
Tim
it.
Tim Harmston, our elusive guest, Tim Harmston.
Has he been on?
No, every time that Tim's been like, we tried to book him about 40 times. And
40, 100.
He's every time he fell back into the category of like, on deck guy.
Right.
And then every time that we need him to be here, he's not fucking here. So as soon as he gets here, he's going to have some answering to do.
He's a popular guy, apparently.
Maybe there is no Tim Harmston.
Maybe.
I'm not going to tell you. Maybe not.
He's like Batman.
Yeah.
Got to shine some kind of light in the sky.
Probably in the shape of a dick. Anyway, let's start with you, Isaac.
Sure, yeah.
Been doing this, 15, 13, 14?
Well, I've been in comedy for 14 years. I started in May of 96.
Go ahead. Walk us through it. What's
Tulsa, Oklahoma?
How old are you when you started?
I was 20 years old.
So you're not from here at all?
No. No, I moved here. I did comedy for 3 years. I was one of the house MCs in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Tulsa Comedy Club back in 96. And for 3 years I did that. And then I moved up here in November of 99.
What gets 20-year-old Isaac Witte into comedy?
I just always, like, ever since 8th grade, I've just always been fascinated. I, like, watched Bob Odenkirk.
Sure.
Remember him?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Steve Odenkirk. I always mix those up. Remember Steve Odenkirk? He's the director of...
Kung Pao, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he was in that. Like, I was a huge fan of his. Now, of course, Steve Martin was always my favorite as far as stand-up goes. Not too funny these days. But
wait, you didn't like Cheaper by the Dozen or whatever the fuck?
You know
was?
What? Like, I just fell out of my chair watching, what's it? Something about the house with Queen Latifah. What's that? Burning down the house? No?
No.
Oh, Bringing down the house.
Yeah, so
yeah, what is
funny.
That one about?
It's about he's a white guy and she's
also,
black.
Also
oh, my
known
God.
By its alternate title of Total Classic.
Is it one of those movies where the black person teaches the white person how to be hip?
I think so, and it's really moving.
Is there a rapping granny or a dancing scene?
Oh, that was going to,
I wouldn't be surprised. I think I did see it a little. I saw some of it in a hotel
Come on,
room.
Steve. You got to move them hips.
Why does Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy, who else? And people that I don't know, Ice Cube to a lesser extent.
Amazing.
That
he did it.
That start off as kind of counterculture.
Yeah.
You know, pushing the envelope kind of guys. Is it because they have kids? Do you have kids, Isaac?
I have no kids.
So you're going to
no
be funny kids. For a while then, right?
No, I'll be funny as long as I don't have children, I guess.
As soon as you squirt one of those kids out.
That's what happens. Well, Steve Martin doesn't have an excuse. Because
he's not even married. He just plays
Steve
the banjo.
Yeah, he just...
Oof.
That's so stupid, isn't it?
That's really weird.
He's performing at the State Theater.
I think he just did that, yeah. Or maybe he's going to. I don't know.
I think he just did it. And people were like, are you going to go see Steve Martin? And I was like, no. That would be like Guns N' Roses is getting back together. And they're going to do magic.
Right.
No one wants to see that. It's not what they're good at. That's never why I like Steve Martin.
Or Guns N' Roses, for that matter.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, like, yeah, even like when Steve Martin did do the Steve Martin Brothers, one of the sides was the banjo. Who ever listened to that?
Okay, I was one of those guys that grew up hearing about how funny he was in the day.
Oh, God. Yeah, he was
But I never took the time because I just knew him from, like, fucking Three Amigos and shit. And I never went back and invested the time And I remember people always raving about Born Standing Up, the book, and, like, all this shit. And I never went back and actually invested the time to hear what he... Did the actual stand-up and his act live up to the hype of how
good
he was? Really? Okay.
In my opinion, Steve Martin is the best stand-up comic of all time. He's my favorite.
Okay,
yeah,
until...
Like, he was the inventor of... And I could be wrong on this. There's probably some old people who might say I'm wrong. But he was, in my opinion, the inventor of it's funny because it's not funny.
Okay.
Like, he would do stuff like he'd hold up gas. You know, like when you pump gas, you got the handle. He'd just hold up the handle and he'd go, see this? I got this for $5. And then he just put it down. Like, that was stuff he'd do. And, like, he made... I don't know that there was ever that genre of comedy.
Sort of like the birth of absurdity.
Yeah, it was truly absurd. And, like, I mean, you got to go back. Anybody who hasn't, you got to go back and watch that old stuff.
I feel like when... The prime correlation would be like Lenny Bruce and Sam Kinison.
Sure.
Like I think if I told my friends who don't like comedy about either of them two and said, listen to Sam Kinison, listen to Louder Than Hell, it's one of the funniest, to me it's one of the bits on there actually live up to the hype of how funny it is. But if you go back and explain why Lenny Bruce is important and why it, but you listen to it and you go, well, this ain't funny at all.
No.
Like, I understand why it's important, it's kind of reverential, but why it's not funny.
You have to put yourself in the times of, like,
exactly.
Oh, it's the 1950s right now, and it is not cool to say even damn.
Right.
And he said it. So, whereas with Steve Martin, I think it stands the test of time. So does Kinison. I would put Kinison number two, in my opinion. Yeah.
Most people don't have the balls to say that because I really think, and it's the thing with like rock bands too. Like, your first record is always your best because the saying goes, you have 5-10 years to prepare for your first record.
Yeah,
and you're writing the songs forever, and then your second one, you have a year to put it together. But I think Sam Kinison, like Louder Than Hell, to an extent, like Leader of the Band and stuff, were incredibly funny. But once you get up the what's the one after he died, the Live from Hell and stuff.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like, and there was a video he put out, and he's just going for the cheap applause kind of thing. And
well, there's this book called Brother Sam.
Yeah,
I'm not a big reader at all.
His I own the book.
Bill Kinison. All my friends who knew Sam Kinison say he was just a jerk.
Like, Bill?
Bill Kinison was just a jerk.
And that's
he was a buzzkill.
Yeah.
And then it just sucks in that book. He's constantly talking about anytime there's anytime he refers to any of Sam's friends. In that book, he never says, and he was pretty funny.
Right.
He always says, hanger on, less talented. Sorry, I forgot
what was
to turn
that,
this
like,
off.
Like Carl LeBeau and
Carl
Jimmy
LeBeau,
Schubert and
I
all
actually
those guys.
Got to... Go,
Isaac's dealing with his iPhone right now because he's...
I actually got to go to Sam Kinison's grave with Carl LeBeau.
Well, that's pretty sweet.
In Tulsa. It was amazing because he knew everybody there. Like, he knew the whole family and had a story about it. It was amazing going with him.
That was what, like, my kind of introduction to getting really deep into stand-up was pretty much that book.
Yeah.
And I remember getting, Louder Than Hell and stuff and hearing all these stories about how crazy this guy was.
Right.
And I wanted to just dig deeper. And, like, the comedy was kind of secondary. I was a rock kid. I liked, the excess and stuff. And I was, like, 10 years old, and I thought, this is amazing. But then when I actually started, when I was kind of coming up, like, Richard Jenny and yeah. So this was what
we
was
didn't
popular.
Know better back
oh,
then,
exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, but that was what was big.
Sure.
And so hearing something like those first two Sam Kinison records was a huge deal. It was like, wow, these are amazing bits. Like these are all time great bits.
Go.
Well, no, but just like the last few, you're like, wow, this is sad.
But in the last days, though, I do remember this one thing that he did. I was in like sixth grade and I was watching HBO, like turned way down low.
Right.
Like, I remember that moment in that one special where he goes, "Is there a guy in here who a woman has broke his heart?"
Mm-hmm.
And then
he
gets a volunteer, probably a planted guy.
But when you're a kid, you don't fucking know that at all. Like, me neither.
Yeah, I was sitting there in sixth grade, like, and this guy raised his hand, and he's like, "What happened?" And he goes, "Like, oh, she was having sex."
Do you have her number?
Right? Do you have her number? And it's like, in my mind, in sixth grade, I was no way.
It's an adrenaline rush that you can't.
Oh man,
you can't duplicate it now because you're like, well, that would have to be. You know, they would have Star 69, they'd have a cell phone.
Right.
But at that time, yeah, that was huge, huge laughs.
Oh, God. When he's going, you are. Like, I was on the floor. I could not believe that I was actually seeing this.
The bit that killed me was the...
send him food?
Yeah, live where the food is.
Send him U-Hauls, I mean.
Yeah. When he drops that, you know, it occurred to us we wouldn't have starvation if you'd live where the food is. That thing, I remember sitting, I played hockey, so I was always driving around with my parents to hockey tournaments and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember just sitting in the back of the fucking car listening to that on my headphones and dying. My mom's like, "What are you laughing at?" Nothing. I just heard the word fuck 40 times in 8 seconds.
Yeah.
No, that's one of those things.
That was the Young Comedian special. That when he did that bit, that's when he...
Yeah, the Rodney Dangerfield.
He was walking around like a week later and he couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
People would walk up to him in New York going, Yeah.
Well, let's...
But I'm from Tulsa. That's where he's from, so, yeah. And actually, he's from Illinois, but, yeah, his family lived
in
Tulsa.
It was Houston or Austin?
Houston he moved to, and then he went to LA,
right?
Then he went back to Houston.
That's right.
And then the second time he did it,
But let's talk about you.
All right. All right.
You're clean.
I am clean.
So how do we segue from Sam Kinison to you being clean?
Yeah, it's like a favor I do for my parents. Yeah, it's like... I was the joke.
But is it a choice? Is it a showbiz choice or is it a personal choice?
It's two. It's like I've actually been able to. I don't know because I there's a lot of my friends who have not. I'm not. I'm the last person who's ever going to say like, "Oh, dirty comedy is bad." Like if you do what you do well, I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but. Yeah, I decided a long time ago I'm going to write within perimeters. You know, it's been good for me in certain situations. Like, I can do a corporate gig.
Sure.
Where a lot of my friends, they don't have an hour that they can do clean.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, it's Christmas time, it comes in handy.
But is that you as a person, though? Or is it easier?
Not really.
I didn't think
Not
so.
Not really.
But it's... No. It's kind of the way to appeal to everybody, but also... Have your voice, right?
Yeah, I don't think I've compromised at all. I don't feel that I've compromised, you know, like because I don't know. I feel like I'm me on stage. It's just I don't talk about sex or drugs or drinking or whatever.
Is it the words or the content that's
probably the content? It's just whatever would make my mother cry. That's what I want to avoid. I don't want to make my mom cry.
Did you ever start off doing that kind of stuff where you were?
No, I was clean from the get go because you got. I was working at a church, this huge church that has I think like 25,000 members. I used to work for this church when I first started doing comedy. Church on the move in Tulsa. An enormous church. And I'd have a lot of times I'd be having my friends from church come out, and I knew that if they hear me swear or whatever, not that I would have, but if I would have sworn, I would have lost my job.
Well, there's an impetus right there. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, but yeah, it has cost me in the way that, like, God, when I do some of these one nighters in the middle of nowhere, like, they just want me to talk about my dick, and I'm just not going to do
totally.
It.
So.
Yeah. You desperately want to hear about it.
Whip it out, goddammit.
Let's talk about it.
Let's cut the shit. We've been doing this for 20 minutes.
I'm giving you some Coors Light.
Just never break character and go, "Fuck you, I'm stuck
no,
in
there
your
have
mouth.
Been moments where, you know, I went into this phase when I first started doing the road. It used to just wear on me. Mm. Where, like, someone would be talking on the front row, And I would just, you know, I'm being all happy-go-lucky, talking about like, oh, I fell down in the shower the other day. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, shut the fuck up. You know, I'd just be furious. And then like, there's no way you're winning them back after you, you know, like just completely act like a angry troll. Want someone to be quiet.
Because I know that like Brian Regan gets booked as the clean comic, but he's awesome, right? I mean, that's kind of synonymous
with
his
name. Do they, though? I mean, the best compliment I always get, though, is when people go, you were really funny, and I didn't even notice you weren't dirty until the show was over. Mm-hmm. And I hear that on a regular basis, and I never get tired of hearing that. What I do hate is when people go, I just want to really thank you for being clean.
Yeah.
Like, it must be so easy to go up there and be dirty. Like, no, it's not. It's not easy to be dirty. Comedy in general, like, it's not easy.
There's
no
incorrect premise. It's just how it's just your
it's hard
people
to
have that windfall, like he was saying, about, you know, fuck this is not going, you know what, fuck you, I'm taking a night off, fuck you guys. you really I mean, you're really leveraging your career at that point, aren't you,
if you're
having a night where it's, you know, you're in fucking Dubuque, Iowa, and shit's not flying. I mean, is it because I can't go. I mean, every second I'm not saying fuck is a trial for me, and it's because of, you know, the way that I was raised, and it just wasn't ever a big deal. But when it's your career, and you're and you're in a situation where, hey, you know what? If people know me as being funny yet and clean, which is rare, you have to admit, that fear of snapping must be there somewhere.
There is, yeah. Well, I think that it's gone away, though, because I realized there is no payoff whatsoever. Right. Like, when you snap at someone and say, shut up, all it does is weird out. No one in the audience hears this guy in the front row talking. Exactly. Nobody does. So when I snap and go, shut up, you know, like, eating the mic, like, you know, like shouting as loud as all it does is just weird out all of the audience. They go, oh god, he was so
it's that thing where even though they agree with you that you should be mad, they don't really side with you because it's
they don't side with me at all.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden I start showing my anger,
I guess it's got to be kind of different to deal with a heckler when you're.
A lot of people always say, like, oh, there must be hecklers all the time. There's rarely hecklers. Rarely.
Sure. But
the most common thing is someone talking louder than they think they are because they're drunk. You know? And I've been that guy, so I shouldn't be as angry at that guy.
Yeah, well, you see people deal with that situation in so many different ways. You see, like, you know, Todd Glass or somebody who kicks people out himself.
Yeah.
Which is, I got to say, it is uncomfortable, but in a way it's mildly cathartic, where you're like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Or people who just go, you know, like the Joe Rogan thing, where it's just like, hey baby, just calm down, we're all here to have a good time, you know.
Being
you're a likable guy, how do you stay likable in that situation?
You know, I don't even know how I do it. I don't even, it doesn't even work sometimes, you know. Like I still, well, like, I believe I was at the House of Comedy on the second show Saturday, last time I was there, and it was just, I mean, the guy would not be quiet, and he was so wasted he didn't even know where he was, and I tried to be likable, and he kept saying, let me up there, I'm funny, if I could only get on stage, I know that I would kill, you know, and like, there's no rationalizing with someone that stupid, you know. And he, you know, and then typical, like, as soon as I get off stage, he wants to buy me a drink, and he wants to make nice with me, and like, and then, all right, I'll
take
your
free
drink.
Show, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, there were only like 30 people there. I guess I didn't care that much. It's just, it blows my mind. It makes me angry when someone can't realize how dumb they are.
Right.
But it's never going to work.
Oh, this show, you're going to hate this show.
Like, I can't explain to you in a way that you're going to understand how stupid you are.
Yeah. In a perfect world, they'd go like, man, you got a great point. I'm an idiot. I'm going to change my ways. But it never happens.
But there's, you know, 200 of those a night, more or less, waiting to, I don't know, derail your show.
Like, well, do you guys as like never, and music as musician?
Oh, I thought you were going to say as a
No, not comedy. As an audience man. I'm talking like you guys as musicians when you're on stage. Is anyone so disruptive?
As a musician, I welcome it always. Sure. I beg for it. And especially
get crazy,
because it's loud, it's drunk, it's crazy, it's stupid.
Yeah,
I think it's you have a lot more to distract people with. I mean, as soon as you start playing a song, that drowns out anything any fucking idiot
and
saying.
And if someone's not paying attention, that's no big deal at all, no.
Right?
Yeah, they'll be back with you in 15 seconds.
Yeah, it's not a. I would say it's almost not a parallel.
I wish people would understand that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that there's a lot of people. They just don't understand. Like, I've been to lots of shows. Why is it a big deal that I'm talking now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things where the like you said, the comedian is much more hyperly aware of the noise than anybody else is.
Especially the first five rows. I know everything that's going on.
Yep.
And as much as people hate to know it, I'm telling jokes that I have told before.
Hey, this might blow your mind, but I know what's coming up next.
I'm not saying this. Most of this is not off the top of my head.
And if you talk shit, I have built-in answers for you.
Jesus. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's what blows my mind. Like because we talk about this a lot, but like the whole idea of live comedy is... It's the most rare art form of where people are like, let's go see some comedy. But you would never do that. Like, you want to go see a movie? Yeah, what do you want to see? I don't care. It's whatever. You would never. That's a movie, dog. I love movies. And so do you. Want to go see 101 Dalmatians or fucking, you know, Scream 8? I don't, whatever. Like, it's like, comedy is different. Like, you could go on a night, catch Kevin Meaney, and then 2 nights later catch fucking Dice. You know, it's a thing where it's like you're not going to please everybody.
No, and that's what I think Acme here in town has done so well. Like Louis Lee has been a genius as far as like teaching these crowds. Like, you don't know what you're going to see, and you'll be happy with whatever's here. Because, like, week to week at Acme, there you got Mary Mack, who's a little mouse singing songs 1 week, who is very funny. And then the next week, you're going to have some New York guy talking
shit about his butthole.
Sure, yeah, he'll be talking about his butthole. But it's all, like, a completely different genres, mostly, I think. And crowds have learned to just go like, hey, whatever's here, we're happy with it. So,
do you, as a comic, is it kind of important to train an audience?
I mean, I think so. Yeah,
to set people up,
especially with what I do, because I mean, like, if I'm doing the Loony Bin in Wichita, there it's not as easy for a clean comic like me because they have a pre-existing idea of what's going to happen when they walk in. They think, like, he's going to talk about his butthole, and it's going to be great. There's a lot of hair on his butthole, and I'm going to listen to it and laugh.
And but then I come up,
and I'm not talking about anybody's butthole. And they have to just take funny for funny.
I got to tell you, now you are.
Oh, you're right. You guys tricked me.
Trojan horse set.
Snap. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and keep talking here. Here's the song that I'll insert later.
Sunrise was a punishment. He left the shop. terrible injury. Don't move. I get so close, I can almost kiss the train and squeeze between the planks, plummet to the river below.
Okie dokie. Isaac, during the break, asked if he could do something, and we're granting him that.
It makes sense.
That request.
It makes sense.
So, right, Isaac, take the reins here.
All right, here's the deal. I, for three cars in a row, I've had very good luck on Craigslist. All three cars have lasted me about a year and a half. And, yes, 3 days ago, I bought a 1987 Toyota Celica with only 169,000 miles on it.
Only,
yeah, like a Toyota that goes 200,000 miles typically. Sure. I should have been fine. So I gave this guy $650, and during the test drive, nothing went wrong. Next day, I got in the car, won't start. So I called the guy and I go, "Hey, the car that I bought yesterday from you is not starting." And he goes, "Oh yeah, it does that all the time." And I go, "Well, why didn't what about when I asked you? Is there anything wrong with this car?" And you said nothing, you know. And he goes, "Hey, what was I supposed to do? I bought this car a month ago."
At any point did he say, "It's America, baby"?
This guy's just a total prick. He works. Oh, here's something. Make fun of him for being a pizza delivery guy.
Sure.
He's a and I've even been a pizza delivery guy. So, still,
did he mention what
Pizza Hut in St. Paul? He works in St. Paul. Anyway, his phone number, and I. Please do me a solid. Do yourself
all of us a solid.
Do yourself as a human being a solid.
It's for America.
And get back at this guy. Don't threaten him. Don't say I'm going to beat you up or anything. Just annoy this guy. Call him as often as you possibly can. I don't know his name. His phone number is 651-239-8022. That's 651-239-8022. Just call him and annoy him. Like tell him how much of a big
if you got a fart, call him and fart into the phone.
Yeah, do that.
That's fun.
Tell him he's a piece of garbage for like being a horrible human being, like selling people, poor people like myself.
Call him, tell him you're Craig from Craigslist.
Yeah.
And then he violated a trust that you had with your
tell him to go to
customers.
The police station and turn yourself in.
You fucked up, baby. You fucked up big time.
This guy deserves anything that you can do to him. Don't threaten him.
Please,
please
don't go at this with the same veracity that you fucking went for our contest with. Actually do this. God, you guys are awful.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, one more time. 651-239-8022.
And you don't have a name. You just know
I don't know the
works.
Name. Just leave
works
a message. If he doesn't answer, just leave a message. Leave a long one. Leave a really long message.
Like a really minute-wasting message.
Yeah. Tell him he's a piece of garbage, you know, whatever.
Maybe if we can get enough people to call him and we can waste $650 of his...
Phone bill. Use up all of his
karmically,
voicemail.
Karmically, yeah. That'll
use
match
up all of his voicemail time, and then he won't know that he could have picked up a shift at Pizza Hut.
Sure.
And
he's going to have to call and listen to his messages.
I mean, I know this guy's address. I've had every evil thought about this. Like, I've really thought, like, I'll get a brick. I'll throw it in the windshield of his new car. Because the reason he said it, I said to him, like, why are you selling this car? And he goes, "Oh, I bought that one." So he pointed. I know what his car looks like. I know where the guy lives. I could go put a brick through his
windshield. Should we call him now?
I wouldn't be against it. Yeah, why don't you do it? Yeah. I'll
let's do this, too. If you have recording capabilities and you can record this, send it to TwinCitiesTank@gmail.com. We'll play it on the show.
I'll be delivering this time.
I'll hold the mic up.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, please leave your message.
Yeah, he doesn't say his name.
651-239-8022.
Might as well leave a message.
Record your message after the tone. To send a numeric page, press 5. When you are finished recording, hang up. Or for delivery options, press pound.
Hey, Rank. Hey, Hank. It's Reggie. I was calling about them Gopher tickets. I was just maybe I don't know. You mentioned Dorothy coming, but she's been kind of a cunt lately, so not too interested in hanging out with her. But anyway, I got those painted jock straps we wanted with the ears on them. So maybe we get up early. We paint each other's dicks up and put the ears on them. And either way, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Let me know if any of this stuff sticks. Give me a call back. All right. All right. Thanks. Bye. So that's that guy's number.
Yeah, just do that kind of stuff. Like, sure. Really annoy this guy.
It's going to be a week of just him calling me now until this fucking airs. Oh, well.
Please come over and do that to me.
So the ears, the gopher ears on the dick, that's cool.
Sure.
Anyway, should we get to some news?
Oh, hot dog. Sure. Oh, did he just call you back? Oh, go back. Answer it.
Nice. Here we go.
Hello?
Hello? Just got a call from
the plumber. Oh, hey, is this Hank?
Hank?
Is this Hank? Oh, hey, what's up, Hank? I'm sorry, I mean Jeff? Is this Jeff?
Oh, yeah, it's Jeff.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, I was going to ask you a question. Do you want tuna or do you want swordfish tonight?
I'm actually a bigger fan of swordfish.
Well, that's cool because we're going to have some people over tonight and, you know, we're going to do the juggling contest. You were invited to that, but I just wanted to make sure that...
Let me take over. Hey, you piece of garbage. I'm the one that you ripped me off. We're on a podcast right now. You're going to get tons of phone calls because you ripped me off. Your phone is going to get blown up forever. So you might as well change your phone number, you piece of garbage.
That was Daryl.
What do you have to say for yourself? What does your mother think of you?
I hung up.
Oh, man.
At least he has my phone number now. It's for the good of comedy. I think you like swordfish, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Should we get to some news?
He prefers swordfish. All right. Let's do the week late news. Week late news. We're calling it that because there's a week delay on the podcast. And everything you hear will be a week late.
First story, which is fucking ridiculous. This takes place in New Zealand. The headline is Dolphin Funeral. Moco service attended by hundreds in New Zealand. I won't read the whole thing, but there was a beloved dolphin in New Zealand that frequented those beaches, and it died.
Wait, this isn't even like a tank dolphin, like at SeaWorld kind of a deal?
No, it's a real dolphin.
He just flew up to the beach and...
I want to read you something.
Okay.
This is what's going on in New Zealand, and this is why it's fucking funny to me, because you know how there's real news in the world?
Yeah.
This is what's happening in New Zealand. Hundreds of mourners Friday marked the death of a teenage bottlenose dolphin. It's teenager, by the way. Sweet. Who won hearts and sometimes annoyed New Zealand swimmers and surfers with his boisterous antics. Now, see, right there, what that is either a slow news day or just a slow news country, and I can't decipher between the two. But anyway, Moco is the dolphin, and it says Moco was placed in a blue coffin bedecked with flowers and carried through a seaside town. Did you ever see Amadeus?
I did. I love that movie.
Buried in a trash bag, right?
Oh, you got one of the greatest community.
Like a box,
oh,
right?
I was thinking Amistad. And then they emptied.
Of course you are.
And they emptied the box, though.
And then dumped it out, right?
Dumped
in a
it
hole.
Out, yeah.
This is a dolphin. This dolphin has a coffin. And somebody painted flowers on the coffin. That's fun. Whatever. Okay, so after a ceremony that drew 400 admirers, Isaac, you've performed on David Letterman.
Uh-huh.
You've performed on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Premium Blend. Uh-huh. Comedy clubs across the country. Dare I say you're famous?
No, I'm not famous.
Answer me as a person that wants to promote their career.
Oh, I'm pretty famous. Yeah, I mean, I'm everybody knows who I am.
When you die, will there be 400 admirers at your funeral?
Gosh, even somebody famous like me, I got to say, like 350 tops.
This is a dolphin.
Uh-huh.
Well, did the dolphin have its own HBO special?
Not yet.
Shit.
But
what was the dolphin's name?
The dolphin's name was Moco, which I believe in New Zealander means fat shit. but they brought the dolphin to, and this is, I highlighted this part because it's really weird. His favorite bays. So this dolphin
bays.
Yeah, like a bay, like a bay.
Go into a bay.
Yeah, not beige. not like a Matchbox 20 record.
So this fat shit teenage dolphin.
So it's a fat shit teenage dolphin who's way more popular than any of us will ever be, had a coffin, and they brought him to his favorite bays to hang out because he's dead.
Sure.
He was buried privately on Matakana Island. Buried. They buried a dolphin. Okay. I don't want to get into the post-mortem ceremonial shit because I don't really think it's a big deal. Because when I die, I just hope that somebody just fucking kicks a soccer ball into my face, then pees on me, and that's it. But they buried a dolphin.
Yeah.
New Zealand is, I don't know, either really cool or really weird.
Was he in, like, a show or something?
No. That's
no. That's
understand.
That's
yeah, we're gonna
if he was, like, a show dolphin.
No, he just showed up in the bay, apparently.
Moco received worldwide fame in 2008 when he guided two stranded pygmy sperm whales back to deep waters.
What?
I don't know. But let me counter that with this statement. Moco's not everyone was charmed though. Moco was known for pushing surfers out to sea, even leaving one woman stranded on a buoy when he stole her board. He also overturned kayakers and water skiers. So
Moco, he was an asshole.
He was a dick. He was a dick dolphin, a dick teenage dolphin, who because he rescued a couple of sperm whales, it's apparently like folklore over there in New Zealand.
He almost killed some people.
Almost. I'm sure he did. Have you ever seen dolphins in action? They're amazingly dickish towards other fish. They're awful.
Yeah,
dolphins are not to be admired. They're awful.
They're not to be trusted.
They're too smart
They're too smart, and they have the tools. Sharp teeth, fast bodies. Yeah. I don't know, brains that can like contemplate weird schemes. They're fucking insane.
What do you feel would have been a more appropriate burial for this dolphin?
Well, you throw a volleyball in his face, right?
First of all, you don't
soccer ball.
You don't bury a dolphin.
No.
How fucking weird is that?
Yeah.
That'd be like, oh, Pete died. Let's fucking kick him into the river. Who gives a shit?
I tell you though, these people even bury their dogs and cry.
Yeah.
Like, maybe have one cry about it, but. My goodness, come on.
But a dog.
It's an animal.
A dog
I don't
you
care
live
that
with
much.
Your entire life. Or its entire life.
I understand.
It's domesticated. Dolphins are evil sea whores.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dolphins are evil.
I understand the attachment to animals, and I'm only seeing that from the perspective of having a cat and having dogs that have died. I get that. Yeah, it's sad. It's a dolphin. Why would you bury a dolphin? Oh, and also, remember that whole... like 19 or late 1800s thing of people coming back to life, being buried alive.
Right.
What do you do if you're Moco the dolphin and you wake up under like 6 feet of sand? You gotta swim your way to the top? Fucking, you don't like Moco.
That's why I bury dolphins as a force of habit anyway. Alive
if you
dolphins.
You see a dolphin, bury it.
Even if it's alive.
Right.
Put it in the ground.
This thing is just wrapped up with.
Stuff a beer can in his blowhole and stick him in the ground.
The cause of death has not been determined, but postmortems have ruled out deliberate violence or a boat collision. Okay. I don't know if you know what a boat is.
Yeah, I think we need to stop being overly concerned with animals over humans. When you think that the collision between a dolphin and a boat is the issue,
sure.
And you go, oh my God, did the dolphin die?
No, all that is a story of a rich man with a martini. And one of those weird cowboy ties with the you know what I'm talking about?
The little string things.
So, yeah.
Like you used to have in Boy Scouts.
Him telling the story of the time he vacationed in New Zealand and went, oh, yeah, and we hit a dolphin. It was amazing. That's all that story is.
I bet on the same day that dolphin died, like 1,000 homeless people died.
Oh, of course.
Nobody showed up. Never harmed anybody. It was just bad
just
with his money.
Begging for just like, you know, a teaspoon of flour to just get sustenance in his body. But no, sorry, I missed your call. I was at Moco's funeral, Moco the dolphin's funeral.
I bet he stole a few surfboards too, but it was to trade for food.
It was to actually literally find walls to make a house with.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't go to dolphin funerals. That's fucked up.
No.
This next story is very near and dear to my heart. This is from St. Simons Island, Georgia? Whatever. this is a story of two elderly people who died in an elevator in their own home.
This is near and dear to you because
so
you hate old
rich
people.
If they have an elevator
they're rich
in their house.
And they're old, which is basically makes you target practice. So, again, I won't read the whole story. Two people, 90 years old. One was 90, one was 89, in their elevator. What do you die from, Isaac, in an elevator? You're in there for 4 days. What do you die from?
Starvation,
what
do you, don't you?
Starvation's a good one.
They're in there for
sleep
4 days.
Deprivation.
Sleep deprecation, yeah. Deprivation, what?
Sleep intoxication.
Sleep.
No.
I'm going to guess anaconda.
That's not true.
They were trying to get it on, and they broke their hips.
Do you want to know what it was?
What?
Heat exhaustion.
Mm.
Oh. Yeah, well.
I've autopsies on the elderly couple on Thursday pointed to a tragic end to lives they shared for more than 60 years. Police estimated that they had been dead at least 4 days before a newspaper carrier called.
Wait, how long were they in the elevator?
Longer than 4 days. They
Holy
were basically
shit.
Their newspapers had piled up by their garage. So somebody said, fucking Hank and
How did
Hannah
they get trapped in the elevator?
Well, that's a good question.
Did it just not say?
I don't know. It doesn't say what caused the elevator to stop, but the funny thing is, you know, picture their life story.
I met Suzette at the sock hop when we were 22 years of age.
How does the story end? You died in a fucking elevator from heat exhaustion.
My own elevator.
I told you not to install that fucking thing.
Oh, this is in their house?
In their house.
Oh, my God.
We should have just hired somebody to carry us upstairs.
Yeah, anything. Or just walked up there like adults.
Or just, you know, because you're old, have a one-story house. I don't know.
Or, just not go upstairs.
Or just be like everyone else and live in
upstairs. Yeah. That's for the grandkids.
These ain't your grandkids' stairs. but it says investigators are trying to determine what turned an elevator into a death trap inside the Wadsworth three-story home overlooking Georgia's coastal marshes. Stunned family members. They were stunned. My 90-year-old grandpa died. I was stunned by that. Holy shit, I never thought it would happen to him.
By an anaconda in an elevator.
No,
I would be stunned too.
The reason the elevator stopped is because they had accidentally pulled the emergency thing. They're so deaf they didn't hear the bell
going off.
They
pulled the fuck brake. Let's stop here and fuck. Well, no, if you're 90 years old, do you even know how an elevator works anymore?
Did they had their own elevator. They must have had a lot of money. Did they have an elevator operator?
Oh, I'm assuming they were. And this is what's amazing. The newspaper carrier called police Wednesday after noticing an unopened editions going back to July 9th, as well as an untouched watermelon a neighbor had left the couple's door the day before. What kind of people get watermelons delivered to their front step?
It's probably one of those old school neighborhoods where they still get the milk delivered.
But if you can't go out
get the watermelon guy to drop off their watermelons.
Your own watermelon?
Where's my bleach delivery man?
Son of a bitch! It's laundry day!
How do you not know how to get a watermelon? Son of a bitch. But anyway, so yeah, they showed up and they saw this pile of newspapers and the cops found the elevator stuck between the home's second and third floor.
Three floors.
All right.
You ever been so desperate to get up to the third floor from the first floor they had to take an elevator?
Gosh.
Old people have been.
I wonder how much this house is going to go for. How many millions of dollars?
Well, now that it's haunted by fucking absolutely. Hank and shitface Wadsworth, who knows?
Well, just the elevator's haunted, so you can just stay out of there.
Board that shit up. Right? I just think like if you're gonna die, that's not natural causes. That's retarded causes. Like you can't be like, oh, how'd your grandpa die? Cancer? No, my grandpa got trapped in an elevator with his dumb shit wife, and they both burned to death.
Have you guys ever thought about what would be my worst way to die?
Absolutely, a million times.
I have mine. What's
yours? No, you go first.
Mine is I'm buried alive, mm-hmm. but it doesn't end there. I have an air hose that goes to the top,
and
so
he comes down it.
So I would still be able to breathe.
Okay,
but I'd be trapped in a coffin, so I would not die of. How would you die? Because you know your will to live
would always be there. I'll take some more hits off this oxygen.
Yep.
So you would not die of suffocation. You would die of what? Just
boredom?
Freaking out.
Yeah.
You'd die of, you'd be in this coffin in this enclosed area for days and days, being able to breathe.
I have no basis for thinking this, but I think the human body has an internal shutdown switch where, like, okay, like, if I
see that.
If I did you ever see the end of The Good Son, starring Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Threw the fake body over the bridge and it caused a big car pileup?
No, they're like on a cliff. Like, let's just say it's like 70
feet up. Oh, yeah, and he's about to kill that kid.
Sure.
Spoiler alert.
I think, if you haven't seen Good Son, don't listen to this episode. But I think, like, if you were hanging from a cliff and all that was below you was rocks in, like, a shallow bay.
Yeah,
I think if you got like 20 feet into that fall, your body would just go, fuck it, I'm out.
I hope so. Yeah. I don't think so. That's not enough time.
We all hope. We should ask somebody who's died before.
I just happen to be here. What
Holy
do you want
shit.
To know?
That elevator was hot.
Go back to hell. Nobody wants you here, you old piece of shit.
Okay.
No, I would think, like, in that situation where you're like, wow, like, I'm definitely waiting to die. Like, I'm definitely just counting down the minutes to die. Well, you would dehydrate first, right? Which would be an awful
That's probably true, but, I mean, we're talking that take, what, 2 days at,
but maybe,
at least?
Maybe just to exacerbate your fears, somebody drips water down the tube. Like it, like an eyedropper pace. Just enough to keep you alive.
I thought it might be
You know what
that's
I'd do?
Worse, yeah.
I'd just go to sleep.
No way could you go to sleep. I'm claustrophobic. I couldn't.
I'm claustrophobic.
I'd be freaking out nonstop. You're in the
dark. I'm claustrophobic, but I'm not claustrophobic in my sleep. I would dream of the sky.
I would dream of Jimmy.
But imagine how horrible it would be, though. Like, you could go to sleep. Then you wake up, and you're still in the coffin, and then you're all over again realizing the reality.
Yeah. That's true. But then you could just go back to sleep again.
My worst
you're taking a lot of naps.
is a combination of... prison, just the being corralled and knowing that if you get out of your cell, you're probably gonna I'm not gonna last in prison. So I have this like really accelerated fear of doing anything wrong because I know if I go to prison, I'm gonna die there. But my biggest fear, and this doesn't really involve death, but my big humongous fear is teeth shit. Every hard surface I see, every curb, it's my teeth getting. Did you ever see American History X? That's my thing. Is where almost kind of becoming obnoxious. Where I can't see cement or see anything without
associating
me falling, somebody pushing my face into it. Something
what about
like
a mouth guard full of acid?
I like the acid part. But mouth guards involve going
to
the
No, not that acid.
Oh. Oh, well, that wouldn't be
sulfuric acid.
No, I mean I don't know. I don't know that I have like a weird. I've been trying to die for 29 years, so I can't say that I'm scared of it. Pink, the famous pop star, was doing some fucked up shit and she fell. That's not the fun part. She was doing some shit in Germany and she fell. Which is part of the who gives a shit news segment. But the funny part is Pink, as she was in her ambulance, tweeted this message to all my, and I don't know anything about Germany, so correct me if I'm being a fucking asshole here, to all my Nuremberg fans. It's Nuremberg, right?
Nuremberg,
so
I believe,
she,
yeah.
So she wrote Nuremberg, which is funny, because she's in an ambulance as she's tweeting this, by the way.
Yeah.
I am so sorry to end the show that way. I am embarrassed and very sorry. I'm in ambulance now, but I will, and you can see this, Pete, right here. I will, the letter, be fine. So she's obviously
in a time
crunch.
Well, you only have 140 characters.
She's in a time crunch.
If you feel so bad, why wouldn't you just sit on a stool and be like, hey, guys, I can't dance.
If you're tweeting.
But I will sing.
If you're tweeting, get in a wheelchair like an adult.
Sit in the wheelchair and do the rest of your set.
But then she goes on to say,
if you can tweet, you can do a goddamn concert.
Everybody probably paid the equivalent of like $80 to get in the show.
Or shekels, whatever they fucking have right now.
Deutschmarks.
Deutschmarks, thank
Sticks.
You. Hitler mustaches. She writes, didn't
Raleigh
get clipped into... And she, if they knew who Raleigh Fingers was, the World War II wouldn't have happened. She says, didn't get clipped into and wrote IN and the number 2 harness correctly.
didn't get clipped into harness
correctly. Somebody didn't clip
so she must have been in some sort of trapeze kind of thing, and
correct.
She fell out
matter.
Of it. And
it's pink. It doesn't matter.
Got a disco
but
blown.
The funny thing is that tweeting has become the way that you used to get have a press conference or give a statement.
Right.
And a statement in USA Today. No, it's you. She tweeted this garbage. This is pink. She has, like, I don't know, 17 bodyguards, staff of like 18,000 people, and she's in an ambulance because she fell off of, I don't know, a wheelchair or something, and she goes, hold on, don't talk to me for like 5 minutes. I got to tweet some shit. This is weird. It's just celebrity. Being a celebrity is fucking weird these days.
And the fact that so many people, when they saw her fall, like the hardcore fans, they're not thinking, oh, that sucks, the show's over.
It's like, that's
they're
hilarious.
Thinking like, oh,
I got to
upload.
Oh, no,
I hope she's okay. You know? Right.
I can't wait more than 30 minutes to find out if she's sorry for what she did.
Wait a minute. Get on Twitter. I'm sure she's on there. She's in an ambulance.
What's that, a text message? Oh, it's a tweet from Pink.
I'm on the mailing
from
list,
the
bitch.
Ambulance.
Do you guys give a fuck about Mel Gibson anymore?
I think it's pretty interesting.
I'm sure by the time this comes out, people will give a fuck.
Do you want to hear some excerpts from the entire thing?
I've actually heard this already.
Yeah,
You've heard the audio?
Do you want to hear
your house down before you do?
Do you want to hear the hot spots? Or?
Sure.
No, this is the entire thing, though.
Let it rip.
I'll read you the ones that really struck me as amazing. They're arguing, obviously. And she's calling him he's calling her a liar, and she's denying it. He says, correct. Okay, good.
Wait, do you know what he was calling her a liar about?
Yeah, I'm about to tell you.
Oh, okay.
And he says, correct. Okay, good. So you're not lying to me about fake tits? And she says, I never have. And he says, yes, you just did. You said they weren't. You fucking lied to me. So Mel Gibson, famous Hollywood Mel Gibson.
So they weren't. Oh.
How do you not know what fake tits look
like? You've lived in L.A. for like 30 years?
Yeah, and you own a majority of it.
Yeah.
You don't know what a fake tit looks like? Come on, Mad Max.
I have a feeling he wasn't in his correct mind when he was saying this stuff.
You don't think so?
You know what, though? I have, like, I've heard you guys, last week I listened a lot. All right, the reason that I think he hates Jews so much, and I think this is... Is it viable?
And don't just say it's obvious, because we all feel that way.
All right. Years and years, he was trying to get, what's the Jesus movie?
Oh, yeah.
Passion of the Christ.
Passion of the Christ made.
Harvey Weinstein says no, thank you.
He's walking in, all these Jewish people are head.
I think you just nailed it.
So he goes like, hey, I got this movie. It's going to work. And the Jewish guy who's head of the whole thing goes, nope, never going to work. Time after time after time, and then he's like, all right, I'll do this on my own. And then he gets the biggest, greatest moment where the movie makes $1 zillion, yeah. And he's pissed off at all these Jews for saying no.
And
plus,
now he's got the I told you so complex.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You fucking dirty kikes.
Yeah.
But what about the black people and then the... Didn't he say something about Mexicans, too? Oh, yeah. He calls them all wetbacks?
A pack of N-words.
Yeah. Niggers, yeah. We're just going to say it. You can bleep it later, but I'm just quoting Mel at this point. But anyway, as she's denying her fake tits, he says, another lie. Who cares? So they look ridiculous. Get rid of them, why don't you?
He wants her to
get rid of her not fake tits.
You have to change them out every 10 years, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Really?
They do. They go bad.
I didn't
know the ins and outs of tit maintenance.
Yeah, you got to change them out every 10 years.
But anyway, she says, it's none of your fucking business what they look like. And Mel's response is, it is. They look stupid. I'm just telling you. It's just an appraisal. Keep them if you want. Look stupid. See if I give a fuck. But they're too big and they look stupid. Which...
What guy has said that?
I don't know.
How many guys in the last 20 years have said that?
I don't know. I don't think there's a stupid tit on the planet.
No.
Where I come from.
No.
I don't know. You ever see Wendy Whoppers?
Wendy Whopper?
Wendy Whoppers. Wendy Whoppers is a porn star.
So he's losing his shit about the way she dresses. And this is probably my favorite quote of this whole thing. Because I'm going to use this line. He's talking about her how tight her outfit is. And he says... You can see your pussy from behind. You know how fucking either weirdly shaped her pussy is or how big it is to be able to, like, she's got to be like either gardening always or just have like a fucking, like, what's this game? Whoosh, with the things and the ball.
Oh, Hi-Li.
She's got like a Hi-Li pussy. But she said, and then he says, he goes on to say, I'm just telling you the truth. I don't like it. I don't want that woman. I don't want you. I don't believe you anymore. I don't trust you. I don't love you. I don't want you. So at that point, that should be for her.
They're not married, though, right?
I don't think so.
Why didn't they just say,
twatty kid,
I'm going to move out because I have $1 billion.
Well, when you're Mel Gibson, you don't like to be fucking worked over, especially by some Russian broad.
No way.
So they go on to fight some more. And Mel says, you make me want to smoke. You fucked my day up. Now, I quit smoking 2 years ago.
Oh.
But everything makes me want to smoke.
Right.
I don't know how some Russian hooker, whatever. It's
make me want to smoke?
Smoke. That's all he says is smoke.
Did he quit smoking? Maybe he quit smoking.
Yeah. It must be. Anyway, it's like he's not going to die either way. Shut the fuck up. You should just fucking smile and blow me because I deserve it. Now, do you know?
I like the qualifier because I deserve it.
Because I deserve it. You ever gotten a blowjob, Isaac?
Sure.
Pretty, right? Pretty awesome, huh?
Pretty good. Yeah.
Did you deserve it?
I don't know that I deserve
Told
it.
Some jokes? Who?
You know what? Like, half the time, maybe I did. Yeah.
See? What did you do to not deserve it?
You're right. Yeah.
I think everyone deserves a blowjob unless they did something wrong.
I just think that if you're Mel Gibson,
you deserve a blowjob.
You deserve a blowjob. So I'm not going to argue with him here.
I think Mel Gibson feels the same way.
They argue about going to the jacuzzi. Mel counters with, who the fuck cares? We agreed nothing. You agreed. You just fucking expect shit. Go out to the goddamn jacuzzi. Go and fuck the fucking jacuzzi. It's a thing. You have no fucking soul. Now, this line right here of, go out to the goddamn jacuzzi. Go and fuck the fucking jacuzzi. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
That's how you know he's drunk. Because he started off, all right, making a decent point about going out to the jacuzzi, and then he lost himself in his own weird drunken madness.
It's a thing.
And then he tied it up with, it's a thing. If you haven't tied up a weird
you
fucking
fuck things, if the jacuzzi's a thing. Go fuck it.
If you haven't tied up an argument with, it's a thing before, you've never drank. Anyway, he keeps going. He says, you insult me with every look, every fucking heartbeat, you selfish harpy. Now, does that not date him? Harpy?
Harpy.
What is a harpy?
You harlot.
What's, is a harpy a real actual insult?
I don't know.
I'm assuming it means whore. But whatever.
A harpy? I don't know what that is.
Is that a fish? What is that? Whatever. Mel, you Jew-hating weirdo. So she's actually, confidently defending herself, probably because she knows the tape is recording, so she's not going to lose her mind. But she tells him he needs
money. Yeah, at this point, he's probably wondering, like, why is she keeping her cool right now?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Like,
I'm really getting my word
what if normally,
for the first time.
How come every time I say something weird, she goes, go on?
Yeah, what if they're...
You've got a really good point.
What if their arguments are normally just fucking super weird, and she gets even crazier, but then she's like, I'm just going to show him up this time.
She's like, if you're going to dispute what I'm saying, could you put it into a 3-minute clip for me? He says, I need a woman, not a fucking little girl with a fucking dysfunctional cunt. A dysfunctional cunt. He needs a woman. So
apparently her cunt's broken.
Yeah, she's got a broken cunt. But I mean, what more can you say for her? Anyway, he says, I don't need medication. You need a fucking bat in the side of the head, all right? How about that? So you go from somebody offers you some medication, and you basically tell her cunt's dilapidated and she needs to get hit with a baseball bat. Seems fair. Obviously, Mel is really together.
Sure.
So then they argue, and she says, then I'll go to Alicia's right now. And Mel says, why don't you fuck off to that cunt bitch Alicia's? She was fucking making eyes at me. She'd have sucked me in 5 seconds. Again, totally dating himself with saying making eyes. So
She's making eyes at me.
She wanted to go to the spring formal with me. Mel, she's not going to suck you. You have a weird dick, and it's crazy. Anyway.
How many pages of this are there?
A lot.
Is that the
same
thing?
We're almost done.
Holy shit.
She mentions that that Mel hit her, and he obviously, this is the famous line, you fucking deserved it. Now, she asks, you know, are you threatening me? And he says, I'm threatening. I'll put you in the fucking Rose Garden, you cunt. You understand that? Because I'm capable of it. All these years, we thought Mel Gibson was just playing roles. He was taking notes. Braveheart.
Right.
Mad Max.
Yeah, he woke up, that dude woke up and he smashed his head.
48 hours, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's taking notes on how to murder women, which is not a bad thing. Not, it's not a
he
bad
thing. He practiced on dudes for so many years.
And horses.
And, yeah.
Every, whatever. So she says some shit and he says, your logic sucks because you're a fucking mentally deprived idiot. You can't even fucking figure out anything. And
your logic sucks.
Who hasn't
maybe
said
she
that?
Is just the biggest
and that's what I'm
girl
that's what I'm
world.
Saying. She just seems dumb to me. But whatever. She goes on to say, she's my child too, referring to their dumb daughter. Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, you cunt whore. I hope she doesn't turn out like you. Now, I don't know. I'm not a parent.
Right.
I don't think you should say that.
I've been in intense disagreements with girls before.
Right. I kind of hope that the kid...
I can see where he's coming from, though. Like, I've been that angry one time before.
Sure, but you
know... To this day, I feel like I was justified, too.
Well, you don't say
she ruined my birthday.
Aw.
Where were you on your birthday?
What birthday was it?
2 years ago.
Aw.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap this up. So he's hyperventilating. He says, that's my fucking mistake because I should have woken you up and said, fucking blow me, bitch. I should have fucking woken you up and said, blow me. I think we can all identify with that.
If you're Mel Gibson, you can do that to a lot of girls.
Sure.
And it's totally cool.
I say that to my couch every day.
I just, say it to my jacuzzi.
Is the I guess the whole underlying thing of this is, what's the point in being famous if you can't talk like this? I mean, money's
I think so,
great.
Yeah.
Money's fine. Power is okay, but like
you just want to be able to
I mean,
talk like this
all the time. What's the last bastion of what's the last barrier to break?
What
social taboos? You just want to say shit and be like, I mean, if you say pack of niggers, you're just trying to have people hear you say that. Like you're just showing off at that point how rich you are.
Right, and in Australia. The N-word doesn't mean nearly as much.
No,
does it?
Of course not.
It doesn't mean what it means.
I kind of feel
us.
Like I just like really gaily went, no. I hope we can take that back.
Absolutely not.
Which is funny that you were saying baguette and I acted like a complete one. And then he goes on to say, you went to sleep and didn't blow me, which is a threat, by the way, not just an observation. He doesn't like that.
When it was like, you went to sleep and didn't even blow me.
Not like, holy crap, honey, remember last night? You went to sleep and for once you didn't even blow me. And then he does a little soft shoe and
it's like you're the toll you have to pay to go to sleep.
Yes, exactly. Especially in Gibson's house. And then he says, I deserve to be blown
Jesus.
First. Before he wants to be blown before the jacuzzi. And I think this is probably my favorite.
Wait,
quote
is this
of the whole
just a conversation they're having,
yeah.
Walking to a jacuzzi?
I don't know. Whatever. Mel Gibson's a freak show, but he look at that. He just says "rrrg." That's how they transcribed it. "Rrrg."
I guarantee you that, like, even after that whole thing, if the whole United States were to be given a survey, mm-hmm. would you want to hang
would
out?
You leave
with
your
Mel
kids
Gibson
alone with Mel Gibson,
or not hang out with Mel Gibson? Most people go. Yeah, I'll hang out with my guy. He's
wait till,
still pretty cool
wait
guy,
till
man.
Passion of the Christ 2, The Reckoning, comes out. He's going to sell a million copies of that shit. This is the end of the whole thing. You destroyed, this is her, you destroyed my reputation. You're the meanest person I know. I did not destroy it because that shit is true. You're the meanest person. What? You are very mean. So she thinks he's mean. Yeah, you know what mean is now, don't you? So Mel's questioning her ability to understand the English language, which is...
She's
know.
From Russia.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe this whole like last five pages of me regurgitating this horseshit was just him trying to get her to understand what our language is like.
I've heard Russians are very mean, though.
Either way, what he sums up his whole point with is, look what you fucking done. Look at your son. He's a fucking mess. You fucking look at your fucking excuse for a mother. You're a fucking bitch. And I think if you're giving the speech on your baby's mama. If that's the like you know the State of the Union speech, that's a great closing line.
Not bad at all.
You're a fucking bitch. So praise to you, Mel Gibson, and
praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Bottoms up.
Bottoms up, motherfucker.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we wrap shit up here?
Yeah.
Isaac.
Isaac, plug
joke
your
joint.
Shit.
Joke joint. August 5th through 7th.
By the mall.
I meant the one in St. Paul.
Sorry. Fuck
yeah,
that.
Joke joint comedy club.com or just Google search joke joint. August 14th, I'll be at the House of Comedy, one night only.
Rick Bronson's
headlining
at the mall.
Yep. If you have any listeners in Calgary, September 7th through 12th. And one more. Oh, God. This will be interesting. September 25th at the Corner Bar, we're doing a storytelling show.
Okay.
Called Sex, Drugs, and Road Stories.
This is perfect. This is three days after my 30th birthday. I might be there.
Yeah. Comics are just going to get on stage and not do jokes, but tell stories.
Can this
about...
be one of your road stories?
Can this?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the road. It's up the road.
Yeah.
Nah.
There's a road outside.
Yeah.
I can see a road.
Yeah, that should be a really interesting night, September 25th at the Corner Bar.
IsaacWitty.com, right?
Yep.
That's it.
IsaacWitty.com.
Just like you think it's spelled.
Yeah.
Spell Isaac, then Witty. Facebook.
We didn't even get
Twitter?
Into the glorious coincidence of that name in comedy. I'm sure you've covered that before.
That's the bet. I like that we didn't.
I strictly stayed away from it because it's really dumb and not interesting. Isaac, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I loved it. It was fun, guys.
Good deal. All right, Brent. Toot your horns.
You're dead to me, Mexico. You're fucking dead.